Big block of cold beer cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Nearly 1 in 10 of America's unionized auto workers is on strike against Detroit's three automakers. CBS's Chris Van Cleve has the latest on the UAW strike.
This is what happens when corporations don't take care of the people.
United Auto Workers President Sean Fain led a rally in Detroit Friday evening, inviting Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders to the stage.
There was once a time when a union job in the automobile industry was the gold standard for the working class in America. Well, we are determined to bring those days back again.
Workers are seeking higher wages in an era of big profits, and as the auto industry partially switches from gas-powered engines to electric vehicles. Hurricane Lee has been downgraded to a post-tropical cyclone, but it's still a force to be reckoned with, says hurricane specialist Lisa Bucci.
Life-threatening rip currents are continuing over much of the Atlantic, affecting the U.S. East Coast, Atlantic Canada, Bermuda, and as far south as the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Puerto Rico.
The prosecution is seeking to limit President Trump's statements about his federal election interference case. Why?
The court has to be concerned about how difficult it's going to be to pick a fair jury in Trump's case anyway. But with him riling up people on social media and on the airwaves, that'll make it even more difficult for the court. So I think the judge will look at whether she can issue a narrow order that keeps Donald Trump from making improper, inflammatory remarks.
Loyola Law Professor Laura Levinson. There's still no verdict in the impeachment trial of Texas Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's been accused of bribery and abuse of office. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
Republican House impeachment manager Andrew Murr.
Ken Paxton abandoned and betrayed his conservative principles and his commitment to family values, the law, and his oath of office.
Paxton's accused of using his office to help a campaign donor subvert an FBI investigation. Paxton's attorney, Tony Busby, targeted the House.
Impeach the Attorney General of the state of Texas. And then they spent months and months trying to collect evidence to support it, and they did not.
It might be a new baseball record, only this one was set by a fan, not by a player. Here's CBS's Tom Foti.
What are the odds of catching a foul ball at a Major League Baseball game? Not high. Well, how about catching two of them in a span of just three pitches? Patrick Wedderburn was behind home plate at New York City Field as the Mets were playing the Reds, and he did just that. Said he would give the foul balls to his mom, who was with him at the game.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report says chain stores are crowding out local businesses in Wisconsin's small towns. Mike Moan reports now on policies that could help local retailers compete.
The 2023 Rural Policy Action Report, which has input from nearly 30 organizations, urges federal policymakers to advance bills that would strengthen antitrust laws in hopes of seeing fewer mergers, including in agribusiness. Katie Milani is with the Independent Business Institute for Local Self-Reliance and contributed to the report.
We have seen in the last 50 years significant consolidation in our economy. You go to any town across the country and a lot of them look the same. It's the same dollar stores, the same Walmart.
Milani says these trends push out independent businesses, preventing small towns from taking agency over their ability to flourish. Her group notes the FTC needs stronger enforcement of laws addressing deals bigger retailers get from suppliers, allowing them to mark down prices. The report also calls for investment in foundational infrastructure in rural areas, such as healthcare access. The authors say these communities are more diverse than people think, and residents deserve equitable opportunities. Milani says there are too many questions there that can't be ignored.
What does economic, racial justice around rural issues and also gender, what does that look like?
The report says protecting democracy and access to voting allows diverse rural communities to have a voice on these matters without intimidation. The recommendation asked the federal government to make bigger investments in election safety and security, noting the burden often falls on state and local governments. Chains like Dollar General defend their growth, saying they often get requests from rural areas for new stores. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. And today I am hopefully going to be joined with Matt McCain, who is one of the top ranked long-term care specialist in the country. Matt is one of only a handful of specialists nationwide endorsed by the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance. He is the publisher of LTC News, the leading consumer-focused website providing information, tools, and resources on aging, caregiving, health, long-term care, and retirement planning. I'm just going to check in and see how things are going. Matt, are you able to connect with us?
I think so. Do you hear me okay?
I hear you okay.
Fantastic. It's great when technology works appropriately.
It is. And I don't know what was going on earlier, but you were coming across as like a robot. And so I'm glad that we were able to address that. So welcome, Matt. You have a very impressive resume. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about yourself and what inspired you to go down the path of supporting those with long-term care needs?
Well, Lisa, thank you for having me. It's great to be on your show here. I got involved in long-term care, unfortunately, as many people do, through a personal experience. My mom at age 59 went through a series of health events which led her to need long-term health care. So I saw firsthand the impact it had not just on my parents, but the entire family. Excuse me. Around that time, I went through some career changes and I saw an ad about long-term care insurance, believe it or not, in the Chicago Tribune. Remember when newspapers had one ad? Well, remember newspapers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, there were two ads. I interviewed and was offered opportunities with both. I took one and I thought, you know, I'll do this temporarily. So I've been doing long-term healthcare planning temporarily since 1998. So I guess I'm here to stay. And so now, because I've been doing this for so many years with so many clients, I go through the claims process all the time. So I see firsthand the benefits that long-term care insurance planning can help, not just with asset protection, but access to quality care and really reducing the stress and burden that is otherwise placed on the family. And that is now seeing it on both sides really rewarding, because I still deal with people that contact me too late. All right, the fire has already started. There are no planning options available. And, you know, you offer whatever advice you can offer them, but they're now in crisis mode. Mm-hmm. And crisis planning never is really good planning. So it's nice to, well, it's unfortunate that people need long-term health care and have to use their policies, but it's also nice that they get access to their choice of quality care, giving the family time to be family as opposed to having to do everything and deal with the emotional stress and burden that is naturally placed on the adult children.
Yes, and I can totally relate to that. I have some family members right now that are in crisis mode, and there's limited options, and none of them are really appealing. So they're really having a hard time with it. When it comes to aging and needing support, what are your options?
Well, it really depends on what your situation is. Obviously, if you have long-term care insurance, you have choice of any type of care, whether it's at home, adult daycare, assisted living, memory care. No one really wants a nursing home, but for some people who need a nursing home, they have access to quality care options. Mm. But if you don't have insurance, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, go, nope, go ahead.
So if you don't have insurance, it really depends on your individual situation. You can't qualify for Medicaid, which is the medical welfare program, unless you have little or no income and assets, which means you're going to pay for care out of pocket, or your family, usually an adult daughter or daughter-in-law, will provide care, or sometimes both. As you know, a lot of people just assume that health insurance or Medicare and Medicare supplements pay for long-term health care. That is a fallacy that, despite the fact that the federal government has been telling people for over 20 years that this is not the case, that people just assume. And it's a wrong assumption. As you know, they're going to pay a maximum of 100 days of skilled care. Now, that's not once in a lifetime. That's once per diagnosis. So you could have multiple events. But it's solely for skilled care. Most long-term health care is custodial. And for those that are not familiar with the terminology, that is basic help with activities of daily living and the related instrumental activities of daily living, ADLs and IADLs, or supervision due to some kind of cognitive difficulty. And that is not covered by health insurance or Medicare supplements. Obviously, long-term care insurance will pay for those things, and your back pocket will pay for those things.
Right.
But a lot of people will go through a lot of their savings very quickly paying for care. And before they start using their own savings, usually the family tries to be caregivers, and family caregivers are usually untrained and unprepared for the role of being a caregiver. And that creates a huge amount of burden and stress on the caregiver, much less the care recipient, who often feels guilty putting their son or daughter or in-law in that type of situation.
That's exactly true. I mean, caregiving is something that you're kind of thrown into, right? There's not a lot of people out there that are prepared to take on this role or know, you know, what it entails, especially if you have, you know, specific medical diagnosis. When it comes to the housing arrangements to be made outside the home, how easy is that process? Do you sign up today and move in tomorrow? Are there wait lists? And how does that differ depending on who's going to pay?
Well, let's take the second part of that question first. The how is it going to be paid for has a lot to do with how quickly you're going to have access to the care. One of the first things an assisted living facility, nursing home, or home health care agency is going to ask is, do you have long-term care insurance? If the answer is yes, you're ahead of the line because they know they're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, then they're going to start asking questions about your finances. Why? Pretty simple. They need to get paid. And if they're unsure, they're either going to say thank you and no thank you, or you may be put at the end of the line while they give access to someone else where they know they're going to get paid. It's that simple. Now, Medicaid facilities, you know, you may have to look at several facilities depending on openings. There's a lot of stress on the Medicaid system. Reimbursement levels are really low, meaning the patient to staff ratio is, you know, not the greatest. And the staff does the best they can, but you want that access to quality care. And you know, if you have money and or insurance or a combination therefore between those things, you're going to have that access to your choice of quality care.
That makes sense. And I had read that, you know, it can take months to get in if you don't have that access, if you're relying on Medicaid, Medicare to pay for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And can they flat out deny you? I mean, this is new territory for me. So you're educating me here on the fly. Can they flat out deny you if you're paying through government assistance, or do they just put you on the bottom of the list?
There are private pay facilities that do not accept Medicaid. End of story, period.
Sure.
There are some private pay facilities that allow you to stay on Medicaid if you have been paying either through insurance or your personal savings for a period of time. And then there are Medicaid primary facilities that is what they do. But it's going to be based on available beds. Mm-hmm. Depending on where in the country you are, there may be pressure there. There's nursing homes that are closing every day since the COVID crisis. A lot of them went out of business. People pulled their families out of nursing homes. They were generally unprepared for COVID. Some states didn't do a really good job with that. You've heard of this, you know, what happened in New York when they were dumping COVID patients into nursing homes and what the results were. But, you know, nursing homes make up a very small portion of long-term health care. Most long-term health care is delivered at home, adult daycare, and assisted living. Nursing home use has gone down and is really reserved for the worst of the worst or for those on Medicaid. And most of the Medicaid care is delivered in nursing homes. There are states that have tried to do some community care. It is limited. Availability of providers who will accept the Medicaid payment is limited. So a lot of that care is in Medicaid facilities. And again, if there's not a lot of beds available, you're tough out of luck, or you have to go way far away from where your home may be.
Mm. Yeah. And I want to put some of those costs in perspective. After the commercial break, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of long-term care insurance. But the median annual cost of in-home care in Wisconsin is over $68,000, which is actually about 11% higher than the national average. Assisted living in Wisconsin has a median annual cost of about $55,000 per year, while private room nursing home will run you close to $117,000 annually, which in Wisconsin is actually about 8% higher than the national average. For those caring for loved ones that need support during the day, like you had said, the adult centers run about $21,000 per year, according to a December 1st, 2022 article for A Place by Mom. Is that kind of in line of what you're hearing and seeing or know about?
Well, they're using the Genworth cost of care calculator, which really oversamples and puts more stress on some of their statistics. I use the LTC News cost of care calculator. It's a little bit different, and we certainly can get into the differences, but cost of care calculators are just planning tools.
Sure.
Bottom line, it's expensive.
It's
expensive.
You
don't plan for it.
Yeah. we're going to talk about what you need to do and how you can plan for it after this short break.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to stop.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Dig out the Lederhosen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I am joined today with Matt McCain, who is one of the top-ranked long-term care planning specialists in the country. Before break, we kind of covered the different types of living arrangements and the costs associated with those. If you missed that, you can always listen again on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify, and we will be playing out on the weekend as well. I have a caller, Chris from Sun Prairie, whenever Nate is ready for us. Looks like he's just taking some notes there. Well, I'm going to come back to him. But before break, we were talking a little bit about some of those costs, and I think that you really addressed this, but is there anything else that you would want listeners to know when it comes to the reality of those hoping that Medicaid or Medicare will cover all of their needs when they're older?
Well, I think it's important to understand the differences between Medicare and Medicaid. And the easy way to remember is the last few letters of the word, Medicare. Care is health insurance. We pay taxes for that our entire lives. It becomes our primary health insurance when we're 65. Medicaid aid is the medical welfare program. It was never intended for long-term health care, although it's become the primary payer of long-term health care in the United States. And Medicare, as we mentioned, and regular health insurance for that matter for younger than 65, that's only going to pay 100 days of skilled care, okay? They pay for nothing for custodial care. Medicaid will pay for custodial care, but again, you have to have little or no income and assets. There are a handful of states that are looking to implement the so-called LTC tax. The state of Washington implemented it July 1st. California, New York, Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan are among the other states of the 19 other states that are investigating this. And I call it a tax. They will not call it a tax because they're providing a very, very, very small long-term care benefit. So they're calling it a benefit, but it's like in Washington state, it's $36,500, period. As you know, that doesn't pay for a whole lot of long-term care. And Washington state's one of the most expensive states in the country for long-term health care. So the question is there going to be a government solution? They've been debating this for years. They can't even get regular health care figured out, much less long-term care. The answer is probably not. There are incentives out there from a tax standpoint for private long-term care insurance. 45 states participate in the federal long-term care partnership program, which President Bush signed into law in 05 as part of the Deficit Reduction Act. That provides additional dollar-for-dollar asset protection if you have a qualifying long-term care policy in place, which basically means if you, even with a small policy, you can shelter part of your estate, even if you exhaust all the money from your policy. So there are things like that in place. Obviously, different administrations may try different things, but I would not depend on the government to pay for your long-term care.
Wise words. I want to check in with Nate and see if Chris is still with us. I think she had a question for you. Chris from Sun Prairie, nice to be talking with you.
Hi. I have more of a comment than a question. Okay. I have a daughter that's disabled. She became disabled at 19. So I don't know how you prepare for a long-term disability at the age of 19. And so there is no long-term care for her. My husband and I have been caring for her. What she gets in Social Security disability is not enough to support her on her own at all. And there is no long-term care for her. There are a lot of people in this state and in this country that are in the same situation. You can see them sitting down on the street in the daylight in Wisconsin in wheelchairs because they have no home and they have no health care. This is a classist system, and we need to do better than this. You know, we really need to have health care for everyone. Because we should not be doing this with people. We need to get the profit out of this stuff, and we need to take care of people. And I really just thought that voice should be heard here, because we have people that need help.
Absolutely, Chris. And to be honest, that's why I get up and do this show, because we've got to raise awareness on these issues and work collectively to find answers. So thank you for that. And I'm kind of in the same boat, Matt. This was a question I was going to ask you a little down the line after we went through some more details on long-term insurance. But I have a son that's 19 that is on the autism spectrum. So if he is healthy in all other regards, are you able to obtain long-term care insurance if you have an intellectual disability or even a physical disability?
Generally, there's underwriting with every insurance company, and each insurance company has their own underwriting criteria. I would suggest speaking to someone like myself who understands the underwriting criteria for every insurance company, and I would need a whole lot more information on that. But the point the caller made, I think, is a good question and a good comment, only from the standpoint that most people think long-term health care is something that happens when we're older. And that's not exactly the case anymore. With the advances in medical science, things that used to kill us no longer do. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if you don't die and you don't recover, the only thing left is long-term care. And while you can buy long-term care insurance when you're young, a lot of people don't, although people in Washington State did because they wanted to avoid the tax, but many just didn't pay attention and now are paying the tax. It's a complicated issue because there's only 100 pennies in a dollar. And it's nice to say that everyone deserves X, Y, and Z, but who's going to pay for it? And that's a political debate that we're not going to answer here.
Sure.
But I think we can certainly encourage people who have the ability to plan to do so. The more people that actually plan puts less pressure on the Medicaid program.
Exactly.
And ultimately the taxpayer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, you know, what is the government? The government is our tax money. And that's the thing to keep in mind that we have to all remember.
Yeah, excellent point. We're going to learn more after.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts: Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Nearly 1 in 10 of America's unionized auto workers is on strike against Detroit's big three automakers.
The union is strategically striking plants that make popular and lucrative SUVs and trucks like the Ford Bronco, the Jeep Wrangler, and the Chevy Colorado.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve. Hurricane Lee is now a post-tropical cyclone, but it's still a powerful force marching toward New England and eastern Canada. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel has details.
Stay out of the water. We've got very gusty winds. Power outages are likely, especially along the coast of Maine.
Federal prosecutors want to restrict former President Trump from making inflammatory and intimidating comments in the January 6th case.
It will be challenging for the judge to issue the right type of order because it has to be narrow enough to satisfy First Amendment concerns, but that has to be balanced against maintaining the integrity of this trial.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson, CBS News Brief.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the water...
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I'm joined today with Matt McKean, who is a top-ranked long-term care planning specialist in the country. Matt is one of only a handful of specialists nationwide endorsed by the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance. He is also the publisher of LTC News, the leading consumer-focused website providing information, tools, and resources on aging, caregiving, health, long-term care, and retirement planning. So, Matt, we didn't even get into the nuts and bolts yet of long-term care. So I want to make sure that we address that. What are the different types of long-term care options?
Well, I think most people want to be able to try to stay home. So in-home care is certainly everyone's preference. Although in recent years, there have been more and more people that end up selling the house and moving into assisted living. It really depends on the situation. So let's start with home care first. And obviously most care is custodial. which is basic help with activities of daily living, and the IADLs that go along with that, or simple supervision due to cognitive impairment. And, you know, the problem with home care, there's a lot of unskilled, unlicensed home care providers out there, many of which would not be reimbursable through long-term care insurance because they're not operating, quote unquote, legally, meaning they're not properly licensed and certified. Some of them really do a nice job and others, you know, maybe not so nice. Okay. But most of the major home health agencies have very well trained and licensed staff that is available. Adult daycare has become an option, especially for situations where maybe during the day when an individual, a care recipient's needs are greatest, they're dropped off, just like childcare. And they come home at night, and it provides also for socialization as well as care and activities and that sort of thing, which becomes really important as opposed to an individual sitting at home by themselves with a caregiver who may or may not be totally interested and involved. It is a way to delay the need for a facility on a full-time basis. It's also, adult daycare is also used as a respite care for unpaid informal caregivers, like family members, who are working during the day, can't take off or quit their jobs. So they do adult daycare during the day, and then mom or dad or whomever the individual is taken care of by family in the evening. So I think adult daycare has really become a big niche for people to avoid facilities on a full-time basis. Assisted living is growing and growing. Many assisted living facilities now are opening memory care units. Many of them have independent living also attached. So the idea of independent living is just that. It's just a senior community. But a lot of these senior communities have access to some of the services available in the assisted living, like the dining rooms, for instance, and the hair salon, and the activities that are going on in the assisted living are available to the individuals who are purely independent, have their own apartments in the independent living wing. And then those that have memory care is available is nice because, for instance, you know, one spouse may be needing care a little bit or maybe completely independent. The other spouse needs cognitive supervision. They don't want to go into a nursing home. Maybe the cognitive difficulty is not extreme. So the assisted living memory care can take care of those individuals. Obviously, nursing homes, not to bash nursing homes, because they really have a niche for either people with severe cognitive impairment or substantial needs. And there are, quote unquote, nice nursing homes, people with dedicated staff that do the best they can. But it's an institutional environment where assisted living is less institutional. Okay. You have your own private apartment in a facility with 24/7 support services. So you have a variety of those mainstream care options available. And then there's some non-mainstream options, group homes and stuff like that, that are available. Some, you know, need to be licensed in some states and aren't. Some are. In some states that don't require licensing, maybe they should. And those are, again, options for people, especially if they're in crisis mode, which again gets us back to why planning is so important.
Right.
Even if the planning is having a conversation with your loved ones about the issue, but
well,
people don't.
Yeah, and I want to get to that planning part, but can you tell just a little bit more about, without going into, you know, the great depth of it, where people can reach out to you, and I'll give you the information, I'll give listeners the information of how they can find you in a few minutes. But what are the different long-term insurance options, like the traditional, hybrid, critical care, so on and so forth?
Yeah, there's a variety of options. Most people will get traditional long-term care insurance. That makes up a majority of what consumers purchase. These policies meet federal guidelines under Section 7702B of U.S. Code. So you have the consumer protections, the regulated benefit triggers, tax incentives, and the availability for partnership certification in the partnership states. Wisconsin is a partnership state, as most states are, not all of them, but most states are. It's also generally the most conservative from an underwriting standpoint. Again, most people buy long-term care insurance in their 50s from 45 to 62, 63 is really because of underwriting where that niche is outside the states with the tax where anyone 18 and older are trying to get policies, but primarily to try to get out of a tax as opposed to planning. You're going to get the most benefit for the least cost with traditional long-term care insurance. And while some of those traditional policies have return of premium riders, at extra cost, there's no quote-unquote death benefit. This is where the so-called hybrid or asset-based policies come into play. And it's important to understand that not all these product lines meet federal guidelines under Section 7702B of U.S. Code. Therefore, you want to stay away from them, okay? You want to make sure that any hybrid policy meets federal guidelines so you get those consumer protections and tax incentives that go with long-term care insurance. The big option or the big benefit of hybrid policies is the death benefit. And I'm not sure you're aware, but there's a 100% chance of death.
So, I'm glad you told me that. Changes everything.
It does. So in other words, you're going to get money from the policy. That's the upside. The downside is it's very expensive. And for some people, totally inappropriate. For other people, it makes sense because they can leverage, you know, a single premium or pay a premium over a period of 5, 10, 20 years, have long-term care. And if they're lucky enough never to need care, they know someone is going to get the money back. But these hybrid policies are not partnership certified, so you don't get the additional dollar-for-dollar asset protection. And so if you have, let's say, under $1.5 million of assets might not be the best option. Okay. And that's where you have to talk to a specialist to discuss that. I know a lot of financial advisors and some insurance agents love hybrids. And quite frankly, they love them because they pay lots of commission. Mm. I mean, I put it that way, but they are a profitable product. And, you know, that gets part of the conversation, you know. So it's not appropriate for everyone. People like myself will give you appropriate recommendations, and often it's probably not the hybrid. There are situations where it is appropriate. There are also annuities with a qualified rider for long-term care, which have reduced underwriting standards, and they, for some people, are appropriate because they can't really get anything else. And then there are short-term or cash indemnity policies. These policies basically pay cash if you meet the benefit trigger. Will pay a year, sometimes 2 years of care. They're generally very limited, but they, again, have much more broader underwriting standards. So a long-term care insurance specialist who represents all these different products from all these companies will really discuss detailed questions about your health, family history, and finances in order to give the consumer the proper recommendation. And it's important that you find an independent long-term care insurance specialist that represents multiple top-rated companies and not just one or two, because the underwriting standards vary dramatically and premiums can vary dramatically from company to company. There's often I talk to someone, oh, I looked in long-term care insurance and it was going to be $6,000 a year. And then, you know, and this is for a traditional policy. And then all of a sudden they find out it's $1,850 a year and they go, well, I should have done this years ago.
Sure.
So you got to talk to the right person who understands the products. And otherwise, you know, you're limiting yourself. And of course, insurance rates are regulated. So no individual agent or advisor can offer special deals or anything like that. The rates are the rates. The differences are going to be your age, gender, health, and the amount of benefits that you want in a particular policy. And of course, the company, which has their own rate cards and underwriting standards.
And, you know, you had mentioned the state partnership long-term care program, and I hadn't heard of that. Like I said, this is all new to me. I'll be reaching out to you shortly. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that? Because that sounded promising.
Yes, it's one of the biggest secrets in retirement planning. It may be the biggest secret out there. So it has its origin through legislation going back to the 90s with President Clinton. And when President Bush signed the Deficit Reduction Act in 05, it spread the partnership program from the four original states to the rest of the states. And now there are 45 states with approved programs, although only 44 have products that are available, actually 43 because California, there's no companies that are currently offering partnership policies in California because of local politics there. They're working on that. But what a partnership policy does is provide the policyholder with dollar for dollar asset protection, or what a state bureaucrat would refer to as asset disregard. So in the event you were to exhaust all the money from the long-term care policy, you're able to legally shelter part of your estate based on the total amount of benefits paid out by the policy and still qualify for Medicaid. So kind of think of it as a safety net that no matter what happens, you would never lose everything. So let's say the policy pays out $375,000. You're still alive. You still need care. Well, normally, you'd have to then spend all your money down to, in most states, $2,000. Mm-hmm. Well, with a partnership policy, you're able to shelter part of your estate based on that amount the policy paid. So it guarantees that no matter what happens, you would never lose everything.
And is there additional fee for that? Or how do you?
No.
Okay.
No, it has to be a partnership certified policy. And that requires certain inflation regulations. I mean, in your policy has to have inflation that meets the guidelines under federal and state law. But other than that, no, it doesn't cost you more just to have a partnership policy, but it must include, depending on your age, the appropriate inflation benefit.
Gotcha. And then how can the long-term plan protect your assets?
Well, it protects assets in a couple of ways. First, whatever the policy is paying is money that you're not paying out of your savings. Okay. And then, of course, in a catastrophic situation, if you were to exhaust all the money in your policy, you're able to, if you have a partnership policy, you're able to shelter assets and still qualify for Medicaid. And remember, though, long-term care is two things. Yes, it's a cash flow problem. We want to address the cash flow problem, but it's also a family problem. And a long-term care policy is going to address both issues. We want to give family members the time to be family and not be burdened with having to do everything. So it's more than just about money and access to quality care. It's also about reducing the stress and burdens on the people that you love.
Excellent point. And I have just a few more questions for you after the break regarding that family and the caregiver role. How do you have these conversations? How do you know what mom and dad have for their long-term care? And, you know, how do you get those things handled before you get into that crisis mode? I'll be right back after this short break.
Because the times, they are a-changing.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I am here today with Matt McCain, one of the top-ranked long-term care planning specialists in the country. And I am totally intrigued because during commercial, he said, I said, what am I missing? What else can we talk about? And he said, well, there's people out there that don't need long-term care. And I thought, what? Who? So I had to wait through this long commercial break to find out the answer, and I can't wait. So who doesn't need long-term care insurance?
Well, there's two groups. And one of the groups has a choice. Let's talk about the group that does not need long-term care insurance. If you have little or no income and assets, this is not appropriate. And so what's that amount? And that can vary depending on where in the country that you are. But if you have less than $50,000 of savings, don't own a home, and I talk to people like that who want to buy long-term care insurance because they want access to quality care. They don't want to burden their children or their spouse. But at that point, is that really an expense that you want to add? If you got $50,000 to $100,000, depending on where in the country you are, you're still asking that question because this is a bill that you're going to pay, hopefully for a long time, because you don't pay the premium when you are receiving benefits. And you want to make sure that it is appropriate because, you know, the first and foremost, you have to have money for your future or current retirement. That's number one. Long-term care has an important role in all that. So if the insurance agent or financial advisor isn't asking lots of these financial questions or health questions for that matter, you need to run far away. These are questions that a most top long-term care insurance specialist will ask. And I often tell people this is not appropriate unless, of course, someone else is paying the bill. And I do have adult children on occasion pay for mom or dad. Why? Because they want them to have quality care. They don't want them to go into the Medicaid system. They want choice. That's fine. Someone else is paying the bill. The other group is the very wealthy. Now, I have lots of very wealthy clients, including ones, if I rattled their names off, you would know immediately. But they have choice.
Right.
Why does a wealthy person want long-term care insurance? Because the wealthy have two concerns. Number one, a lot of times their money's all tied up. And trying to pull money out of businesses or sell assets, there's capital gains taxes. Who's going to make those decisions? It's just much easier to have a plan. And the other concern is just they don't want to burden their family. They want to have a plan in place so family can remain family. I remember, and this is someone that you would probably know by name, multi-millionaire. And this is back in the day when I saw clients in person. So I delivered their policy. They handed me the check over and he slid it on his desk because we met in his conference room in his home. Okay. Very big home. And I never really asked this question, but I asked him this question: why'd you do this? And he took his glasses off, looked at me kind of funny and said, son, because I was about 39 at the time, son, I didn't get to where I am today by making stupid decisions. And then he took the check back. And then he goes, I spend more money on a weekend at golf than this check is for your insurance. But now my long-term care is your problem, not mine. And he slid the check back to me. And that is certainly a perspective.
Sure.
But let's face it, they have a choice.
Right.
Okay. Most of us don't have a choice, meaning we have too much to lose and not enough to not worry about it. And we're kind of there in the middle. And so it's important that whoever you are talking to about long-term healthcare planning, they have to ask you detailed questions about your health, family history, and finances. If they don't, walk away, because you can't trust what they're going to make a recommendation for if they don't have that information.
Well, you know, Matt, I don't think you became the top-ranked long-term care insurance person without being successful at it and knowledgeable and looking out for everyone's best interests. So before we go, I have one other quick question for you, but I want to make sure that you get out there your information on how people can contact you.
Well, instead of trying to spell McCann LTC, blah, 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 and all that, I have a, just go to radioltc.com. So just www.radioltc.com. That will forward you directly to my website. There's information on my website. There are other resources out there. LTC News, which is ltcnews.com, has a cost of care calculator, lots of FAQs and articles and stuff that is also very helpful. Federalgovernmentlongtermcare.gov also has some resources. The American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance website also has useful information.
And that can all be found on your website. I'm assuming you have a resource. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Section. Absolutely.
Okay. And then the final question for you is, as a caregiver, how do you have this conversation? How do you gracefully have this conversation with your parents, you know, to find out what their plans are? What do they have? Do they have long-term care? Where do they want to go? So on and so forth.
You know, there's such a hesitancy, both on the adult and the adult children, in talking about these types of issues. But if you're in your 50s or 60s and you haven't discussed long-term care with your kids, you need to do that. If you're an adult child and your mom and dad haven't brought that up, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. Okay. There's Christmas and Hanukkah and all these holidays. We're coming up on the holiday season. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, as they say. It's a perfect time to say, hey, while you're at the kitchen table or the dining room table, you know, mom, dad, have you thought about aging yet? And see what they say. Or if you're the older adult, hey, kids, let's talk about long-term care. This is not going to be fun, but, you know, we're not as young as we used to. And have that discussion. The thing to keep in mind, however, a lot of adult children, especially daughters, will say, don't worry, mom and dad, I'll take care of you.
Oh, my parents have no faith. They have no faith. They probably doubled down on their long-term care insurance. But yes, it has been a pleasure talking to you. And I learned a lot, and I thank you. And I need to give you a call because I have reached that age when I, you know, need to start looking into this, because I had read on your website, illnesses and things are going to creep up on you. And when they do, you can either be disqualified or I assume it, you're going to pay a higher cost. So thank you for all of the knowledge that you shared today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun, and hopefully I've been informative, if nothing else.
Very much so.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.